Me here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Through Time and the Stars, written by Jai Kobayashi Goma and Megan Darg. Produced by Be Here. Episode 1. Daisy. A London street, Christmas Eve, 1895. It's night. It's a bitterly cold evening on the snow-swept streets of Victorian London. What little light emanates from the dim gas lamps shows a street almost deserted, though the air carries on it the sounds of carols and merriment from streets and homes nearby. A handful of ragged children scamper across swathes of fresh, newly fallen snow, their excited laughter echoing between the low, huddled stone buildings. From the shadows emerge two ragged urchins, insufficiently dressed for the freezing weather. They are Daisy, a young woman of around 16 years of age, and her sister Maisie, 4 years her junior. The sisters huddle together as they make their way from one patch of snow to the next, their words muffled by the snow-laden air.
I'm cold!
Oh now. Don't you worry though, little Muppet. I'll find us a place out of the cold.
And something to eat?
No worries. A proper little nosh-up we'll have.
Hot taters?
And all the veg. And a goose.
Oh my! And afters?
Of course! And a mug of gin to finish us off.
Suddenly, Daisy spots something and quickly drags her sister into the shadows.
What is it?
Shh! Hang on.
Daisy points, and both she and her sister survey the imposing house across the street.
There. See? Just behind that statue.
The window's open.
Didn't I tell you it would be warm tonight?
But what if someone's in?
Hardly likely. The place looks deserted. Not a lamp on anywhere. I say we're quids in with this one, little sis. What do you reckon?
Well, I know I don't want to sleep out here tonight.
That's my girl. So, when I say, quick as you can, right?
Right.
Now!
The girls rush across the street, churning up snow. They jump over the property's low wall and into the welcome shadows at the side of the house. They sit in silent stillness for a moment, and then shuffle across the window, which is opened by a few good inches. Daisy reaches in, pulls the sash up, and both girls clamber inside. The sisters are crouched just inside the window, listening intently for any sign that the house is occupied. When they hear no sounds, they relax and begin to quietly explore the rooms. The rooms are sparsely furnished, and it seems as though the house has not been lived in for a while. With the only illumination coming from the faint glow of the street lamps, the girls make their way into the hallway. The sudden chiming of a grandfather clock causes them to cry out in shock.
Bloomin' heck!
Language, Maisie!
Sorry, that thing half scared the skin off me.
When the seemingly thunderous chimes die down, the girls relax once more and continue their exploring.
Here, Daisy, I found the kitchen.
They bundle into the kitchen and begin to rifle through the cupboards, only to find them empty. Almost despondent, Daisy opens up a covered platter on the wooden table in the corner of the room.
Oh, my Lord!
Cor blimey!
They both stand in awed silence, salivating as they eye the remains of the roast goose surrounded by leftover vegetables.
What did I tell ya? Goose and all the trimmings. Didn't I say? Didn't I tell ya?
You did. Taters and all, cor blimey.
The girls seat themselves at the table on two rickety chairs and feast on the remnants of the platter, joyful in their ravenousness. When they're done, they sit back, smiling widely.
stuffed.
I couldn't eat another thing.
Maybe some sticky toffee pudding.
Later that night, Maisie opens a door and looks inside. The moon is up now, and moonlight streams through the large main window, glinting off the brass and glass of the strange contraption in the middle of the room. A plush velvet seat sits at the heart of an ornate curved brass framework, and in front of the seat there's a panel filled with buttons and knobs, many of them topped with crystals, which seem to be glowing on and off, as though they are blinking eyes of the devil himself. Maisie nervously steps forward, followed by her sister, and they both stand before the strange thing, perplexed.
What is it?
You got me there.
That's the strangest chair I ever did see. This is the work of old Nick, I know it.
Don't be silly. This is probably what the fancy knobs are sitting in there. All shiny and whatnot.
Sit in it then.
You what?
Sit in it. If it's just a chair, sit in it.
You think I won't?
Go on, go and sit in it.
I will then.
Go on then.
All right, keep your hair on.
Daisy puts on a brave face as she climbs through the brass framework and slowly, nervously, she settles herself into the plush velvet seat. When nothing terrible happens, she relaxes a little.
See? Just a chair.
What in the holy blazes are you two doing in my house?
The girls both scream at the sight of the bearded man who seemed to appear out of nowhere.
Run, Maisie!
Maisie makes as if to run, only to be grabbed by the man. But when Daisy struggles to get out of the contraption to save her sister, his mood changes and he suddenly seems almost scared.
Oi! You leave her be, you!
No! Don't move, please. I beg you. Don't move. That is a powerfully dangerous piece of machinery.
When Daisy still seems like she might try to extricate herself from the ornate framework, the man lets go of Maisie and holds his hands up.
Please, I'm in deadly earnest. You don't know it, but you are in a most precarious position. One wrong move on your part could...
Could what? What is this thing?
I told you! It's old Nick, it's the devil himself, I tell ya!
Well, what is it? What are ya? A warlock or something?
No, no, nothing so spiritual, I can assure you. I'm a man of science. This is, well, it's difficult to explain.
Try me.
All right, well, this is a machine that allows me to travel from this time to others, whether in the past or the future. When operated correctly, it is possible for one to be transported backwards for a day, or 100 years, or forward to 100 years hence, or more.
So you are a warlock, then?
I am no such thing. I'm a man of science, and this is a very delicate contraption. I urge you now to make away from it with great care. It is very dangerous to...
Suddenly, frightened, Maisie runs towards her sister.
Daisy!
Daisy tries to run towards her sister, but gets her skirts caught in the array of knobs and levers protruding from the table in front of the seat. The machine comes to life, lights blinking furiously and a strange noise emanating from the framework. The more she struggles to remove herself from the machine, the louder the noise, the more furious the blinking of the many lights, and the room itself now begins to vibrate.
Daisy, what's happening?
Oh my God.
As Maisie turns to run towards her sister, the time traveller grabs her and pulls her back to the doorway.
Let me go, Daisy!
It's too late! There's nothing we can do!
No!
Sisters lock their gaze for a long moment as the air seems to vibrate between them. And in a flash of light, the machine and Daisy simply vanish. And all of the sounds, lights and vibrations cease in an instant.
Daisy! Daisy, where's my sister? What have you done with her?
I'm so sorry, child. I really am.
Where's my sister? Where is she, you devil? Where's my sister?
I'm afraid she's gone. I'm so, so sorry.
Bring her back! Bring her back! Bring her back!
Maisie collapses onto the floor, sobbing, for the longest time.
The time traveller stares at the space where the machine used to be, with fear and dread in his eyes.
Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.